Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Art Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Truths We Hold. An American Journey is a 2019 memoir and political reflection by Kamala Harris, written when she was serving as a United States Senator from California. The book traces her life from her childhood in Oakland as the daughter of immigrants from India and Jamaica to her work as a prosecutor, San Francisco District Attorney, California Attorney General, and national political figure. It is not only a personal autobiography, but also an account of how Harris understands public service, justice, law enforcement, and democratic responsibility. The book presents her career through the idea that durable political action depends on identifying shared truths, especially in a country marked by inequality, racial division, economic insecurity, and institutional distrust. Its purpose is partly explanatory and partly civic. Harris describes the experiences and values that shaped her, while arguing for practical, evidence-based government and a broader sense of common obligation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, immigrant family history is the foundation for a public life. A central thread in the truths we hold is Harris's account of how family, place, and political culture shaped her understanding of justice. She presents her parents, Shyamala Gopalan from India and Donald Harris from Jamaica, as immigrants whose intellectual work and civil rights activism gave her an early model of public engagement. Her Oakland and Berkeley upbringing is important because it places her personal story inside the social movements of the 1960s and 1970s. Rather than treating ambition as an isolated individual trait, Harris repeatedly connects private memory to public values, community responsibility, racial awareness, educational opportunity, and respect for people whose voices are often ignored. But this framing helps explain why the memoir gives unusual weight to her mother, whose scientific career, discipline, and moral clarity become a recurring influence. The result is a political origin story grounded less in ideological theory than in lived exposure to immigrant striving, Black community life, and civil rights organizing. The book's personal sections, therefore, serve a strategic function. They establish the emotional and ethical sources of Harris's later legal and political choices. Secondly, progressive prosecution and the rejection of simple crime politics. One of the book's most distinctive arguments is Harris's defense of becoming a prosecutor while also claiming a reform-oriented approach to criminal justice. She frames this choice as a response to two groups of victims, people harmed by crime and people harmed by a broken justice system. This dual emphasis allows her to reject the familiar divide between being tough on crime and soft on crime. Instead, she advocates a smart on crime approach that uses evidence, prevention, reentry support, and institutional accountability. The reasoning is practical punishment alone cannot reduce crime if it ignores poverty, trauma, education, addiction, and racial disparities. But reform also cannot dismiss the needs of victims and communities seeking safety. Harris uses her career as a deputy district attorney and later as San Francisco district attorney to argue that prosecutors have discretion and therefore moral responsibility. The topic is also one of the more debated aspects of republic identity, because progressive prosecution requires balancing ideals with the coercive power of the state. The memoir presents that tension as a reason to enter the system, not as a reason to avoid it. Thirdly, California Attorney General work as a test of institutional power. Harris's tenure as California Attorney General occupies an important place in the book because it expands the scale of her argument from courtroom practice to statewide governance. She presents the office as a tool for protecting people against powerful institutions, including large banks, corporate actors, and systems that can harm consumers and working families. Her discussion of the foreclosure crisis is especially significant because it illustrates her belief that legal authority should not merely process cases but should negotiate, investigate, and apply pressure when public harm is widespread. The memoir also connects this period to civil rights and social policy, including her support for marriage equality and efforts related to criminal justice data and police accountability. The reasoning behind these examples is that government can be effective only when it has both moral purpose and technical competence. Harris emphasizes preparation, evidence, negotiation, and coalition building rather than symbolic outrage alone. This section distinguishes the book from a purely personal memoir by showing how she wants readers to understand the machinery of public office. It argues that institutions can be redirected, but only by people willing to master their procedures. Fourthly, national politics framed through healthcare, immigration, and inequality. As the memoir moves into Harris's Senate career, its scope broadens from California governance to national conflict. Harris discusses issues such as healthcare, immigration, national security, the opioid crisis, economic inequality, and the legal rights of vulnerable communities. These chapters are not designed as a full policy textbook. Instead, they show how she connects policy questions to human consequences. her approach is to make large systems legible through their effects on families, workers, patients, immigrants, and communities facing instability. The book's treatment of the Trump administration era also gives the memoir a sharper political context. As Harris presents herself as part of an opposition committed to constitutional norms and social inclusion, the intellectual structure remains consistent with earlier sections. Good policy begins by identifying facts, listening to affected people, and refusing false choices. For example, immigration is presented not only as border management, but as a question of family unity, labor, law, and national identity. Healthcare is treated not only as a market issue, but as a measure of whether public institutions recognize basic human vulnerability. Lastly, shared truths as both moral language and political strategy. The title's idea of truths gives the book its organizing concept. Harris argues that Americans are often encouraged to see one another as more divided than they really are, and that democratic progress depends on recovering a sense of shared purpose. This is moral language, but it is also political strategy. She attempts to appeal beyond narrow partisan identity, while still defending positions associated with racial justice, immigrant rights, criminal justice reform, and economic fairness. The strength of this framework is that it links personal biography, legal practice, and national policy under one civic vocabulary. It also gives the memoir a hopeful tone without abandoning conflict. At the same time, this approach has limits typical of political memoirs. The book is selective, presenting Harris's record to her preferred interpretation and offering more emphasis on values and leadership than on exhaustive policy detail or sustained critique of her own decisions. That does not make it insubstantial, but it shapes how it should be read. The Truths We Hold is best understood as a self-portrait of public purpose, not as a detached history of the offices Harris held. In conclusion, The Truths We Hold is best suited for readers interested in contemporary American politics, political memoir, criminal justice reform, women in public leadership, and the relationship between biography and public values. It will be especially useful for readers who want to understand how Kamala Harris presents the continuity between her family background, prosecutorial career, statewide executive work, and national political identity. The practical benefit of the book is that it shows how public problems can be approached through institutions rather than only through slogans, data, legal authority, coalition building, and attention to affected communities all matter. Its intellectual benefit lies in its effort to reconcile ideals of justice with the compromises and powers of government office. Compared with many campaign-era memoirs, it stands out because Harris's professional identity is rooted in law enforcement and prosecution, a field that creates real tension with progressive reform politics. That tension gives the book a more complex center than a simple story of personal ascent. It is not the most detached or comprehensive analysis of American policy, and readers seeking a critical biography will need other sources. Its value is different. It offers a carefully shaped account of how Harris wants her public career to be understood, anchored in immigrant family history, civil rights influence, legal pragmatism, and a language of shared civic obligation. If you would like to support Kamala Harris, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.